Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation that I'm hoping helps your business grow. Are you happy with your career? Are your employees happy with your with their careers? And are the people that you're trying to get to come work at your company happy with their careers? The probability is they're probably not. That's just a little bit of stats from here in America and worldwide, but we're going to have a pretty deep conversation about what most people are lacking in their careers. And before I get into who I'll be chatting with today, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Wix. Yes, our friends over at Wix know a thing or two about turning a scrappy startup team into a global organization that serves millions of people, and they want to share what they've learned with Startup Hustle listeners in their new micro podcast series called Ready for Takeoff by Wix. When you tune into Ready for Takeoff by Wix, you get to hear from Wix founders and company leaders. They share super short lessons to help you build better programs and teams faster. Hey, that's a topic I can get behind. So subscribe and follow the Ready for Takeoff by Wix podcast wherever you listen to the show. With me today, I've got Michael Garden, and Michael is the podcast host and executive editor at Career Cloud. He knows a few things about careers and what people might be happy with or not happy with. So let's just go ahead and welcome Michael to the show straight out of Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to Startup Hustle, Michael.
Thanks, Matt. Happy to be here and talk to your listeners.
Yeah, I'd like to go ahead and begin our conversation with a little bit more about your backstory. So let's just jump right in.
Yeah, sure. So I'm one of those guys that really has never had a career calling. I remember in college, my dad saying, this is maybe I'm a sophomore or junior in college and I don't have everything quite figured out. And he says, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to do a whole bunch of different things and I'm going to find success along the way. And so I've kind of tried to dedicate come at career from the lens of how do you figure out how to sort of thrive and adapt in a world where you don't necessarily have a one foot in front of the other calling. So I started my career in Chicago as a proprietary futures trader, kind of in the world of, trading power, oil, all sorts of different markets. And I, at the end of about 5 years of doing that, I kind of woke up at 28 and said, wow, I can't do this for the rest of my life. So career pivot number one, what are you going to kind of do next? And I got into the world of startups. I've started a couple different companies, raised some money, got into the world of content marketing, and joined a startup called reviews.com, building online content, reviewing all sorts of products and services, and learned kind of the SEO and content marketing game. I did some, after that company was sold in 2016 to a private equity company, I got into the world of really corporate consulting. I ended up helping a large insurance company here in Madison, Wisconsin, learn how to build new products and services for their customer base. And then I said, you know, in 2018 or so, I said, you know, the corporate world isn't really all it's cracked up to be for me. I want to get back into working for myself. And I ended up purchasing the website Career Cloud, and been working on it ever since, and really developed kind of a passion around helping people figure out what they want to do with their lives, or helping them execute a change in their careers. And that could be anything from getting a different job to doing something completely different in the world of entrepreneurship.
So when we talk about what most people are lacking in their careers, I mean, the first thing for me that comes to mind is, well, it's, you could say passion. And that's because a lot of people don't have the opportunity to, or they haven't found the opportunity to show up every day to a job and do something that they're passionate about. And I think that that's a huge problem when it comes to, if you look at, and I'm not going to drag up a bunch of stats about the, you know, out of 100 people surveyed, how many people said they hate their job? Because it's a high number, man. It's really high. And, you know, but it's because if you're not waking up and doing things that you're passionate or interested about, I mean, it truly is a job at that point. You're sitting there waiting for the, you know, that, you know, the clock to hit 5 p.m. and then you're out the door, like, you know, you just started the 100-meter dash at the Olympics. I mean, when you think about what most people are lacking in their careers, I mean, what's one of the first things that comes to mind, or first couple things that come to mind?
Yeah. So I do think passion is a part of it. I don't think it's the whole story. And so how I think about it is, actually, I use the word alignment. I think people are just not aligned with the work that they're doing. And you can get alignment from a number of different areas, right? I mean, yes, of course, passion for the work that you're doing, right? I mean, the best plan is one that you can adhere to. So if you have passion and interest in what you're doing, you're more likely to continue to do those things. But you can get alignment from the company that you work for, being aligned with the mission that they're on and the values and all of those types of things. You can get alignment from just being good at something. I do think passion and being good at something do go hand in hand. But when you develop a skill, I think you can develop a passion for what you're doing. And then I think, you know, a lot of people are just lacking creativity in a creative outlet and sort of more control over what they do day to day, or the products, services, offerings that they create. And you can kind of find alignment that way. And I've talked to a lot of people who find alignment or build alignment in through entrepreneurship. Maybe it's they find a creative outlet through having a side hustle or something like that, or they're able to turn that into, you know, a full-time job. But I would say figuring out and having clarity around, you know, the things that I do and the person that I am and what I do every day, having those things be pretty aligned is the biggest thing I see lacking.
Yeah, I think psychologically humans they want to feel like they're moving forward. And, you know, when you look at alignment, I mean, I think that's a subset of it. They want to feel that they're aligned with something that's going to advance them forward. Now for the skills thing, I couldn't agree more on that part. And that's something I run into a lot at Full Scale. So I employ, 250 plus software developers. And I will tell you that the overwhelming number of them are more concerned about what they're doing than what they're getting paid to do it. And a lot of that has, and then, you know, at our organization, we have overwhelmingly senior level experience. And one thing that we learned pretty quickly is that the alignment is out of whack. We end up with unhappy clients and unhappy employees. For example, you have, like, you know, there's 10 million types of coding. And if you don't really understand what you're doing when you put someone on an assignment and you get them misaligned, it's like the idea that you hire a new sales guy and then they show up in Kansas City and you're like, okay, congratulations, you're now in charge of France. And they're like, yeah, but I don't speak French. Yeah, but you know sales, so you have to know how to sell in France. And that's a shitty alignment, you know, I think different people have a different desire and level of excitement to learn something new. Now, on the flip side of that, there are definitely people at our company that would show up and be like, hell yeah, I've always wanted to learn French. But not, you know, but overall, it creates a lot of friction. And, you know, you look at it, some of with the advancing and moving forward, you just get back to some of those basic psychological principles. And you remember Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And, you know, that fifth one, the little pinnacle at the top is that self-actualization. And that's really hard to get and maintain, but that's the feeling that you're doing what you're capable of doing. And how many people get to do that at work? And I think that that's not always the case. So how do you fix it?
Yeah, I think you're totally on. I mean, that self-actualization piece, right? Like, organisms are built to grow, right? Grow physically. And I think as humans, we've evolved to where we're trying to grow psychologically, emotionally, and it monetarily, and kind of added all of these other elements of growth to that. And so doing something where you do feel like you're growing is extremely important. Fixing it, I mean, you kind of alluded to the issue that you have at your company, which is on some level, the organization has to be that coach and the peace mover to get people aligned with in the right jobs and in the right situations. You know, that's one piece to it. I think the other is, you know, it's just a self-discovery journey. I think you have to be a person that thinks very deeply about, and is very truthful about the things that you like and don't like, and it's all okay. Like, we're all different. Not everybody's an entrepreneur. Not everybody's a salesperson. That's all okay. But being very truthful with what you like, and I think almost more importantly, what you don't like,
as well as what you're good at and what you're not.
Absolutely.
I run into that all the time. People are like, hey, I think I should be this position, you know, whatever, ABC. And you're like, well, you don't have any experience doing that. And then you get, this is always that chicken and egg issue with employees and employers. Well, how do I get any experience if no one will give it to me? And, you know, we've all been, we kind of go through and read different books and do different audibles in the leadership group. And we just read through the book Traction, which is a great book. And he uses the acronym GWC. People have to get it, want it, and be capable of doing it. And that's a problem, because I think a lot of people want to be in roles and they get really like upset, frustrated, downtrodden, feel shorted, or go look for other jobs because they didn't get a specific opportunity. And when I think about an employee, it's not, you know, it's the employer's job to provide ample opportunity and training. But as an employee, I can't force you to learn it. I've had all kinds of instances where I've put people in roles and give them the tools, the guidance or whatever. And you end up 3 months later, you're still sitting there, you know, you're dragging people along. And sometimes that becomes it becomes burdensome. So at what point, and I think we all kind of control our own destiny as employees on many days, at least when it comes to learning. That's not something that, what they always say, it's a, you know, the effort's free. It's something you can control. Same thing with attitude and a couple other things. So I couldn't help but jump in on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I think, attitude and effort, right? Yeah. Those are totally in control of the employee. And I think a lot of times, an employee, you're dead on. People see the great opportunity, right? They see the more money, the more responsibility, maybe cooler work or something like that, and don't necessarily look at the jobs to be done right in front of them and how you do that super duper well. And I think like there's just, maybe it's a transparency issue or something like that. But the people who I think really grow are the ones that say, okay, I'm going to, you know, that's in the future. that is something that I have to work towards. There's a delayed gratification aspect to it. And they say job number one is execute this thing and be really damn good at it. And so I think, you know, people need to be able to figure out how to get the proper feedback, right? Hearing from a boss that, okay, buddy, you took on this role. The performance isn't up to par with where we need it to be. And here's why. Like that's very constructive, but people need to be able to see the instances of like, what's the expectation and why have I not met that expectation? And so there's kind of like that circle between what, you know, where the employee's responsibility and the organization's responsibility in terms of kind of coaching that person into the right role.
That's a tough thing to do too. You know, I had someone earlier this year, we gave this person feedback and they were really upset about the feedback. And that resulted in someone showing up and like quitting on the spot. And that's a tough thing. You know, you get back to that psychological aspect. Some people need to be pushed. Some people need to be pulled. And mm-hmm. I think that as an from the employer side or the leadership side, I think it's really important that you understand, you know, which works with the person you're trying to communicate with. Because like, I'm someone that if there's certain, I mean, we all have certain things that are going to drive us nuts, and certain personality types just stew on certain things and aren't able to, you know, get that out. And they can become people. You talk about a career and say, oh, they're so critical of everything that I do. Are they? Is that, you know, and it's, I think some of that is a tough thing to get over. I think, you know, my book Balance Me, one of the very, right there on page one, it says, if you're not ready to admit that you might be part, you're probably your biggest problem, just put the book back because I can't help you.
Yeah. It is very difficult. Again, I think ultimately hearing that feedback and it is going to hopefully be, and even having this bad experience where the person quits, right? Like hopefully for that person, it's going to be a growth experience. But yeah, you're right. I mean, again, going back to what we can control, what we can't, right? As the employee, one of the things that we didn't mention was kind of open-mindedness and truth around your skills, capabilities, and interests. And if the organization has put you in three different roles and tried to coach you and help you, and you're still feeling that same way, you do need to look in the mirror. And just going back to the alignment thing, at the very least, okay, maybe this isn't the right spot for me. In a company even, and then going out and taking it upon yourself to either get, you know, take that feedback to heart and learn from it. Or if you really feel like you're sort of the wronged party in the whole thing, you know, you got to try to find a different cultural fit for you. And you know, if you're not willing to change, you're probably going to end up experiencing the same issue and problem, you know, in the next place as well.
I think an important thing to remember is that, and now look, there are bad bosses, there are bad leaders, but for the most part, people that are, you know, for me owning the business, no one benefits more from your success than me. I mean, on many days, as well as first you as the employee, it could be the client, it could be all of us. And you know, we at Full Scale, we try to create, we refer to things in a circular way a lot. And sometimes that's related to communication. Like you can't just have communication between the service provider and the company we provide service for. There might, you know, there's another angle to that because we have management and leadership and that completes a circle. And it's the same thing. It's like, if you find someone, we do a lot of training. We actually just took someone that, you know, had a lot of experience, but didn't have specific types of certification, and put this person through a 3-week training course that wasn't, quite honestly, wasn't that expensive to provide, and got them certified on a lot of Google cloud related stuff. It's a different topic. And one of our clients jumped right on getting this person added to their team. We have a happy client. We have a happy company. We have a happy employee. And that's a circular win. So I think that when it comes to feedback, growth, and I think you said something earlier that's pretty important, is this isn't an instant gratification thing. On the flip side of that, as an employer, I have definitely noticed over 15 years and now hundreds of people that have worked at my company is that people are usually good at stuff right away if they're going to be good. Mm-hmm. I would challenge many of you listening to try to find an instance, because we all know, you worked with someone, they showed up, you're like, wow, this person is got a long way to go to even be average. Is that ever really the person that later you're like, man, they're an all-star, world-class performer? It's not. So I think that's a reflection of having people in the wrong seat, wrong opportunity, wrong alignment.
Yeah, I think when you hire for a specific role and to get a specific job done, right, it should be very clear right away whether or not that person can execute that thing. That's a different problem from saying ultimately this person, you know, can grow and evolve into a really solid, great contributor in another way, right? And I think so I definitely agree with what you're saying. I also agree that people absolutely can change, absolutely can, you know, because I've seen it with the right feedback and the right alignment, people can end up being stars at something different. But there's a lack of alignment right away in the job that they're being hired for in that specific instance.
One thing that I think you can probably count on is knowing that our friends over at Wix, yes, the website and business building platform, know a thing or two about turning a scrappy startup team into a global organization that serves millions of people. And they want to share what they've learned with you in a new micro podcast series called Ready for Takeoff by Wix, where the company's founders and leaders share super short lessons designed to help you build better products and teams faster. Subscribe and follow Ready for Takeoff by Wix right now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this show. Now, speaking of podcasts, you've got a show, don't you, Michael?
Yeah, it's called Career Cloud Radio. And what I'm trying to do there is really talk with people who have different people that have wide-ranging experiences in their careers. We might talk to entrepreneurs, software developers. I'm talking to the one of the former COOs of Bridgewater Hedge Fund actually later today. And what I'm trying to do is give my audience really inspiration into the different types of work that's out there in the world to help people really just look at and plan out their life a little bit differently and say, you know what, I might not be doing the right thing, but here's an example of a person that they have a life set up for themselves and they do meaningful work that's really interesting to me. And I had never heard of that, you know, that work before. And so just trying to give people a broader perspective on work and trying to channel that into helping people plan and think long range about the life work that they do.
So you mentioned earlier, you're talking about side hustles and, you know, what's your take on how to make a side hustle your full-time business? Because the one thing you said earlier that I actually wanted to kind of challenge a little bit was that maybe a side hustle would fix your opinion of fill what you're missing in your career. I feel like that's kind of a Band-Aid. I feel like doing something different to fix the other thing that you're doing, like sometimes that might work, but for a lot of people, if they're already feel like they're working a lot, doing something else that's additional work might kind of make it even more stressful. I mean, my personal opinion is you find this balance between your personal, professional, and physical life. And if someone's doing a side hustle, that can pull away from some of the other things like taking care of themselves, exercising, or family matters. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, I'm not opposed to the side hustle. I've had several in the course of my life. So, you know, how do you bridge the gap? And it, by the way, the side hustle is usually it's someone orbiting around things that they like or that they're passionate about, you typically don't start a side hustle. Well, I mean, I'm wrong if I say overwhelmingly, because there's a lot of people that might clean houses or do some other stuff. I don't think people are inherently passionate about cleaning toilets, but I mean, maybe they are. If you are, good for you. And I've, please reach out, because there's always a role for that at my house. But how do you take that from a side hustle to a full-time business?
So first, I think you're right in pushing back on that. I mean, I think it depends on what the person is lacking. And so in the specific reason I brought that up was sometimes people are just lacking like a creative outlet. They may be really good at what they do, but are bored or just are looking for something of their own or whatever that might be. And I think that can, doing a side hustle can be a good creative outlet. Where it becomes a problem is if you're trying to take, if you're just selling your time on the side, like that's not scalable because you have a full-time job. You maybe have kids and a family and all and health, as you alluded to, that's all gonna take away from. But I don't see any problem with going after and pursuing kind of, you know, these little creative outlets that can sort of be scaled. In terms of taking it, you know, to full-time, I've done this. And so I have a kind of a specific track in doing this. And I think the number one thing is you have to be extraordinarily, in my opinion, extraordinarily patient and thinking long-term on it, because it's very difficult to work a full-time job, as you said, and just spend all of your other waking time to get that going, right? Takes away from everything else. So what I did was I kind of said, this is when I was working consulting for a Fortune 500 company. I said, I want to change. I want to go back in the world of content marketing and the internet. And I took, I basically started with what do I not want and what am I not going to put up with and what are going to be too big a time sucks on my time in terms of the business. And I set it up that way. So I went and I purchased a couple of businesses. I said, I don't know which one's going to work out, but I purchased Career Cloud, purchased a couple others. And I said, I'm going to create a content team that can execute what we need to do to build those businesses together. I wasn't building three separate teams. I was building one that could execute on all three. And then I said, okay, in order to cash flow that, I basically need a bridge. I need one really big digital marketing client. And because I've been in the industry, we had reputation and we were able to kind of go find one client to be able to fund these businesses. Because I don't want to be in the agency game. So I don't want to have 5, 10, 15 clients, because that's not the ideal lifestyle for me. That's not a way that I could, that's not a scalable side hustle. So once I got the first or the one client, I completely left the consulting job and I worked full time on that. And the whole time I was taking working capital from the services I was providing for that client and funneling it into the business. And once I had that big enough to where I could pay the whole team and do all of that, I left the client because I didn't want to be in that client game. So this whole process took a year and a half or so from when I started working on and saying, yes, I want to leave this and this is my path out and executing that. So about 18 months or so, full stop. So I think it's like one, you know, finding a sort of a product market fit, like what is the product that you have and that you want to do, and determining, is it big enough to replace, my job? You know, anyway, like if it's not, that's not really, you're never going to take it full time. And then thinking about like, what are the transition points out? Like, what are the two or three things that have to happen in order for you to get out of this? Now, certain people can just quit their job full, you know, cold turkey and start their, start working on their side hustle full time. I've got three kids. I've got a wife, got, you know, responsibilities. I didn't want to take that type of risk. So I tried to engineer like the entire path out, if you will.
A couple of responses there. So the last part we used that falls into, for so many people, that's the right time myth. And people, it's not the right time. The right time's never coming. It's if you're sitting around waiting for the right time to go do what it is that you really want to be doing, you're going to find yourself waiting for a really long time. And I want to caution people that find themselves saying that phrase, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. Cause I like I said, there's very few instances where perfect timing exists. I mean, that's a luxury piece especially when it comes to starting your own business. There's never really a truly right time to do it. You can always find a reason to avoid it. When it's not the right time is like you're having a new baby in 2 weeks, right? You just lost your job yesterday. That might be the right time to start a business. I mean, I know so many people that accidentally started a very successful enterprise and business, partially out of necessity, partially out of being bored. And that's what else I want to reply to is when you talk about the side hustle thing. So if you're not successful in your current career, and it may be due to a lack of specific types of education, training, or experience, going and doing something else that's not related to the skills, experience, or education that you need to acquire is going to probably move you further away from it. And, you know, for those of you that are listening, I don't know what you do. I think most people that listen to this podcast are either entrepreneurs or wannabe, but you know, the move away from distracting yourself from the things that you really need to do aren't always a good thing. And I think that yesterday I turned 47. I'm getting old, man. And I think thanks, man. I got Father's Day and my birthday on the same day. So it was like a 2-for-1. And then I asked my wife as well. I was like, I think I now know what Christmas babies feel like, you know, because you know you always look at the people that have the birthday like a few days in the Christmas, you're like, did that always get bundled into one? I have two kids that are born like 10 days apart, obviously different years, but you know, we finally had the discussion, we're like, okay, they're gonna have to have separate birthdays this year. but look, when it comes to so much of that is the reason I bring this up is 15 years ago I was trying to do a bunch of different things, and I want to talk to you about your take on optionality. And for me, I have been very self-actualized a couple times in life, and I'm experiencing that right now with, I've got a business that's 4 years old and it's coming up on its 300th employee. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're doing what we're capable of doing there. But in order to get there, I had to put on blinders on so many different things. I had to teach myself. So I'm an ADD guy, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs are, but you got to stop chasing every shiny thing. And it was my business partner at Full Scale and my often co-host here on Startup Hustle that will often say, Matt, it's just another thing to do. It's just another thing to do. And the thing is if you're going to be truly world-class and excellent at something, then you got to decide what that is and maybe focus on it. Cause you only have so much bandwidth, so much time, so much energy, so much opportunity. And if you want to be really good at being average, then try to get good at like 60 different things. Mm-hmm. That's usually not the way that it works. And if you're capable of being world-class at 60 different things, and you're like, yeah, but I can do it. Okay, how good would you be at a few of them if that's what you focused on? Now, once again, you know, the day after birthday reflection and thinking about where you might've been 15 years ago, I don't think I would have said that. But I really think that laser sharp focus and that commitment to being really good at stuff, which also involves a lot of setbacks, whether you're the employee or the employer, like you don't wake up every day and win. And I think the key is that you just have to you need to try to break the losing streaks and just be a little bit better. I mean, if you get a little tiny bit better at everything you do every day, you can be pretty darn good at some stuff in a hurry.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, like, I guess the nuance I put on it is, I think so many people come out of college, you know, the decisions made in terms of their career track, right, or what they're going to go into. And I think a lot of people don't end up sticking with that, or they change. So I think the reality is, much earlier in the process, we need a system to figure out and get people better alignment. And so in absence of that, right, like, we don't have broad-based, apprenticeship programs like that, that you can just really cycle through a bunch of different things really fast and figure out what you want to do. We just don't really have that. And so I was one of those kids that was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to do finance, 'cause like, I like numbers and I like the stock market and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think a lot of people are like that. And so with that reality, you need to impose on yourself, in order to figure it out, you need to impose some type of strategy to get exposure to a bunch of different things, which includes doing a bunch of different things, but then betting more heavily on what's working and getting rid of the stuff that, you know, basically stopping very quickly the activities that that aren't producing. So I kind of have a rule. I was like, if you don't know the future, you need to create options for yourself, but you can't have too many options. Max three. You need to have like max three projects that you're working on, or max three skills you're trying to acquire at any one time. It's hard because it takes more input. It takes more of your bandwidth. But if you have three, the likelihood that one of them, that you're going to find some signal on one of them, and that you can drop the other two and bet more heavily on that one, I think the odds are with you to cycle through things more quickly. The other option is, if you want to do a bunch of different things, you have to just sequence them. You have to try number one and only number one, kill it or continue with it, and then go to two and three and four and five, and you know, have that structured approach. For me, my mind, I'm more of a horizontal thinker. I like to have a few different things going on at the same time. So again, when I built this business and engineered my way out of corporate consulting, I was like, I need a portfolio. I need to buy three sites or create three sites or do whatever, you know, have three different small businesses to incubate, because I don't know which one's just going to take off. And then when we figured out which one was going to take off, we sold the other ones. And so I've been working, that was how I've you know, engineered my way into Career Cloud and speaking on this topic and really developing a passion for helping people with their careers was through that process of doing three things at the same time, cutting my losses and betting more heavily on the winner.
You can do three things at the same time that are still well within the lane of, of like still being good at one thing.
Yes.
Or like a few different things. And that's what I want everyone listening. Like, don't think it's not like, hey, I can only do one thing. Cause I, you know, what drives me nuts is people, if you really want to focus, you have to quit multitasking. Well, I'm like you, I have to have a couple different things going on. Cause if something's not quelling my ADD, something other than Adderall, isn't, you know, fixing my ADD. It's like, you know, my wife would tell me, she's like, I don't know how you do. So I listen to music a lot because it actually quiets my thought process, because it provides enough distraction to like let me focus on other things. But I think it's the same thing. You know, if, especially if you're an entrepreneur, the idea that you're only going to you're going to have the luxury of only focusing on one thing today, get out of here. Right. I would laugh that out the door. Hey, my biggest problem is I can't focus on any one thing as an entrepreneur. Get used to it.
Yeah,
because I'm telling you right now that a couple decades later, I haven't found a different reality. It's a question of, it's not about what I want to do today. It's often about what I have to do today. And, you know, I wake up every morning with a list of things that I would like to do, that I want to do, that are my priority. And if I look back at the end of the day and say, did this really happen? It's a strong maybe on a lot of days. And sometimes just a hard no, because you don't know what's going to happen. You hear the phrase putting out fires and stuff like that. And you talk about some of this experience, and it seems like a good time to once again thank Wix for being the sponsor of today's episode of Startup Hustle. If you're an entrepreneur or founder trying to figure out how to successfully navigate the rocket ship of hyper growth and thinking about, do you want to take control over your company's online presence internally or externally? Our friends over at Wix Enterprise can help. Wix Enterprise is a platform that helps provide businesses with an all-in-one solution for all types of growth and business needs. They create high-performing websites for your business, all of which are backed by enterprise-grade security, as well as expert support to help you manage and scale online. Head over to Wix.com for more information. There's links in the show notes to that, Career Cloud, and a whole lot of other stuff. Now, I like to end my episodes of Startup Hustle. I say my episodes, you know, I'm not the only host of the show. So make sure you tune in for Lauren, Andrew, and Matt Watson's weekly episodes. We'll have some new series with Matt and I coming out soon as well. But I end my episodes with the Founders Freestyle, which I like to give my founder guests, and you qualify, sir, a chance to go back and have a little freestyle moment at the end of the episode. If there's anything I'm sure the feedback you get on your podcast as well is, man, that went by quick. So I like to give everyone a chance to kind of, what did we miss? What did we like? I've also had people like truly freestyle. I've had people rap, recite poetry. It's your time, bud. It's your time, Michael. So here's the mic.
All right. Well, I'm not going to rap for you, but I think, you know, our conversation can kind of be really looked at through a personal investing in yourself lens. And so I talk a lot with people who are trying to figure out what their lane should be, what they should spend more time on. You know, this idea of circle of competence and understanding what your current circle of competence is really important. And you can do that in a number of ways. You can straight up ask people, you can create surveys and try to understand from other people's perspectives, like what you're good at. And then looking at the edges and figuring out where the growth opportunities are, but staying within that circle of competence. And the other concept is what's your highest point of leverage? So what is the thing that you do well within your circle of competence that you can look out, close your eyes and look out into the future and say, if I can lever this up, but I can spend more time and effort on it, and I can get growth out of it. And everything else you can deal with in another way, delegate it, stop doing it, have other people do it or whatever. But those are my two favorite concepts, because you have to figure out what you're good at today, not what you're good at and sort of where you want to go tomorrow, and then figure out how to expand that circle by applying more and more pressure to your highest point of leverage. And you're going to create lanes for yourself. And doors are going to open up when you do that, because you're good at something. And then you're figuring out how to get better at it and grow it and apply it in another direction. So those are just, I guess, like the two biggest takeaways, concepts that I would like to leave your audience with.
Well said. And for my freestyle, I'll snap a couple pieces onto that. Because like I said, I think that's excellent advice. I think one of the things, my freestyle is going to apply to entrepreneurs, because if your career is an entrepreneur, all this stuff applies to you. I think it's important to, you know, much like Michael was saying, talking about the things that you might do well, but what are the things that you really don't enjoy doing? Yeah. And let's try, you know, you mentioned the term delegation. That's the stuff I need to delegate to other people. Now, am I capable of doing most of the jobs at my business? Yes, I am. Do I like doing all the jobs at my business? Certainly not. Am I the right person or to be doing most of those jobs? Absolutely not. And does it make me happy to look back at the time that I spent and go, wow, that's what I spent my day on? No way. And if you can get that stuff out, I was just talking to my wife about this, because you know, one of the things, so someone asked me the other day, they said, what's it like to be the CEO or founder or running a business that's grown as quickly as Full Scale has? And, you know, like I said, like 300 employees, and we had 100 employees after a year. So, and the first thing that came to my mind was someone running down the street trying to fill up a bowl of milk and cereal while they were running. Right. And it's, and I don't know why that came into my head, but I was like, wow. And, you know, so it's splashing everywhere. It's messy. There's never, it's never really in the bowl. You're certainly not going to eat it very well. And, you know, I was thinking recently, and my comparison with that was, you know, there's been so many roles that our leadership has had to slide into and fill, like sales is one of them, sales and account management, because we provide services for software services for all. Go to fullscale.io if you want to know more about what we do. But, you know, but I've had to jump into the sales role a number of different times and fill these gaps, which, you know, is obviously a key ingredient to our growth. Without sales and revenue, not much else happens at a business. But that's not really the best role for me long term, because when I'm not doing that, I get out and find business other types of ways, which I'm happier doing. So I was just telling my wife, because I've got, you know, a new sales leadership and some new salespeople that have started this year. And I was saying, you know, I really feel like I'm getting my life back. And that's worth, and you know, here's the thing, Michael, if I wanted to, I could save a lot of money and be the salesperson and put that in my pocket. Mm-hmm. I would much rather pay someone else to do that. And that's actually something I'm good at and that I'm passionate about, but it's not the right role for me. It's not the right thing to do for the company. And with that, I've kind of coined this term this year of organizational honesty. And I think this applies to yourself as a leader. Like, I'm all for giving your loyal employees an opportunity to do things that might be out of their comfort zone, but you have to have organizational honesty at a lot of points too, where you say, I've got the wrong person in the wrong role. I'm doing the wrong role. And I think that back to that circular concept of being open and honest, you also have to encourage people to understand, like, you're okay. If you're an introvert, you're probably not going to be a great salesperson. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. You're going to have to constantly fight yourself to make an effort to be outward and sell stuff. And if you're not going to be honest with yourself about that, then and it's the same thing. And even on like personal levels, people are like, well, I don't have a problem drinking. Why were you hungover four times last week? You just got to be honest with yourself. They say, a friend told me that when you go to try to get help for stuff like that, that, you know, it's like, if you can't admit that you have a problem, you're not going to fix it. And that same thing goes to professional bounds and everything. Now, if you want to try to overcome stuff, you have to take it upon yourself. It's like, you go back to the introvert in sales. If it's really what you want to do and your heart tells you that's what you need to do, then you need to embrace rather than a side hustle, you might need to join Toastmasters.
Right.
Or something. There's a lot of things out there that are still aligned and hey, I'm all for it. Fix the problem and then make yourself feel better and more confident, but you got to be honest about it along the way. And I think that if employees are honest, if there's a transparent level and nature between the relationship between employees and employers, I mean, if one of my employees came to me and said, hey, I'd really love to get some training on this. I think I can provide a lot of value. Can we talk about it? I would, yeah, here, yeah. When can we start? All for that. So don't be afraid as an employee to ask for the opportunity, to ask for the education, to ask for the exposure. And then also as an employer, don't be afraid to offer that, because I've given that, done those things for a lot of employees. And then they've come to me a couple of weeks later and you're like, you know what? I really thought this was the thing for me. It's not. I think I'd rather go back to doing that other thing. But I think it all hinges and revolves around honesty and communication. And, you know, if you're not good at it, you're going to be happier doing something else you're good at.
Yeah. And there's plenty of things out there to do, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Infinite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if it's really that bad where you work, you don't think you're getting what you need, what you want, go do something else. It's pretty simple.
Yep. Exactly.
Probably a good place to end the show, right? Let's go do something else.
Perfect.
I'll see you next time, man.
All right.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.